desire and interest in your prayers and your attention this morning. Before we get started, I'd just like to say that as just been thinking in my own head the last couple of days or so, I've endeavored to accept the responsibility of being a leader in the congregation here, but it's not because I believe that I have all the answers. I don't have all of the answers, but I want to fill the place the Lord would have us to, and I desire your prayers that I'll know how to lead, even if I don't have all the answers. So, you pray for us. Have a little thought this morning. I trust it will be a challenge to us. I'd like to talk to us about mountains and molehills. Now, I've known people that really like mountains, and they really enjoyed living where the terrain was mountainous. Brother Clifford Wilson was one of those, and he could just revel in the beauty of the mountains. And I'll tell you that I see beauty in the mountains, but I like to see the beauty in the mountains at a distance. One of the most distressing things to me is being anxious to get somewheres and being driving in the mountains. Because there is no way to hurry when you're driving in the mountains. There's very few straight stretches, and just as soon as you think you can get up to speed, whatever that speed might be, you realize that you're going to have to slow down. There's not any options of, and if it says it's a 20-mile-an-hour curve, you better be 20 miles an hour. You know, you might really be in a hazard if you're not. but I'm thinking about the part of a mountain that is so overpowering. It's so big. Around here we have a few hills, but we really don't have mountains at all around here. We got to drive a ways to get into mountainous terrain, and I know that we can get down in some places in the state of Missouri that has some pretty sharp hills and sharp curves, and we feel like we're almost in the mountains, but not really. Not unless you get in the Appalachian Mountains or the Rocky Mountains do we really experience what it's like to be in the mountains. And they are, there's special things that have to be taken into consideration when you're building a roadway to try to travel through mountainous terrains. Some mountains, they're able to maybe blast a pass through and be able to lower the ascent rate and descent rate and be able to drive over them. And some of them, that's just not possible, and they have tunneled through them for roadways, for automobiles, for trains, and for various things. They have actually tunneled through great distances. Mountainous places. And then I like to think of, I want us to consider molehills and how insignificant they really are. I was walking in the yard just this week, went out to check something in a little shed to see if I could. I was looking for my axe. I don't know where my axe has run off to, but I was looking for it, and went out to this little shed, and I realized the ground had some little ridges in it, and when I stepped on the ridges, they caved in pretty easy. There's a mole been out there chewing on the roots and stuff. And so molehills are, they're nothing compared to a mountain. right? I mean, they're just nothing. The worst thing that can happen is you step in a mole tunnel and maybe twist your ankle or something like that. But it's not like falling off of a cliff or being something that just can't be navigated at all. But the devil in our everyday lives wants to take the things that really, with the help of the Lord, they're nothing but a molehill, and he wants to make mountains out of them. And he wants to take the things that are easily surmountable and cause them to look like there is no way we're getting past this. This is an obstacle in life that I'm going to be defeated right here. And that's exactly what the devil is trying to do, is help us to accept defeat, to where we give up. We quit trying. And I'm here to tell you this morning that all mountains become molehills with the help of the Lord. But I'd like to look at a few scriptures today. Didn't find molehills in the scripture. If you have, maybe you can help us a little later on. But I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, and I'd like to read the 13th verse. Proverbs has a lot of verses that are kind of stand on their own, it seems like. This is one of them in my mind. It says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." So here's what I get out of that. Anybody that wants to avoid working can take the slightest thread of reservation, of reason, and weave an entire blanket of protection against danger out of it. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but you know, if I was to go, somebody came through and maybe said, I seen a lion. And so the lazy person, the slothful person, is going to say, well, he might be waiting out in the street. I'm not going out of the house. It might get me. Well, I've heard in the neighborhood where I live that somebody has seen a mountain lion. Now, I haven't seen it. And when we first moved there, I heard something. It was a different noise down by the creek. And then Trenton went down looking, and he found a track, like an imprint. We took a picture of it, and I had those pictures. I'm not sure what happened to them. But this thing was big. It was a paw print that I don't think my hand would cover it. Now, that's a big paw print. And so I was wondering, you know, about that time one of the neighbors said that someone they knew had seen a mountain lion, cougar, whatever you want to call them, in that area. And I thought, well, maybe. So I called the game warden that I knew over in Oklahoma, and I said, is there a possibility that there might be some around this area? Oh, no, there's not. There's not. And then one of the boys come home here not so long ago, and he thought he seen one cross the road. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen one. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to stay in the house because there might be one. But there's someone that doesn't want to apply themselves, they're going to take the possibility that there might be. There might be. So I'm going to weave a whole blanket of protection, and I'm going to stay where he won't come in. I'm going to stay in the house. I'm not going out. I'm not going to apply myself. And you know, that's some of the very thing the devil will try to do. He'll come along and we'll hear something. Somebody might have said something. There's danger. They might have said something that could possibly have been applied to me. You know, people that in our society, as a general rule, people that take up the position of being a preacher have some of the same reputation in some people's eyes as a used car salesman. And did you know that the devil would like for all preachers, no matter how much integrity they have, to be wounded and make a mountain out of that molehill? He would like to cause everybody that has ever endeavored to sincerely share the gospel message to be hampered by the thought that somebody in the crowd probably thinks I'm dishonest. So I just won't get up at all. I won't share what the Lord has given me. Although your mind and your heart may be 100% clear, and your life may be 100% clear, and should be if you're going to stand behind this desk, the devil comes along and he wants to make a mountain out of it. Well, there's people out there that believe that I'm just like a used car salesman, so I won't say anything. I just keep it all to myself. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to cause us to be like this slothful man that heard that there was a lion somewhere. Somebody seen a lion. Maybe they didn't tell us that they seen him in a cage riding on a cart traveling through. They just seen a lion. And they jumped to the conclusion that he was running loose out in the fields and doing damage to livestock. Maybe they assumed they seen him in the street and they built this entire thing of, I'm going to save myself, so I'm not going to go out. Did you know that the possibility of danger has empowered many an overprotective parent to keep their child from learning a trade or learning how to work? I guess my parents weren't very protective because I was doing things that was classified as work as a very young person. And I don't know what the end result that you want to see in your children. But I want to tell you, don't allow the enemy to take a molehill and make a mountain out of it when it comes to training your children, when it comes to exercising yourself for the Lord. You know, I remember hearing someone say that they testified once and they'll never do that again. Now, why? The devil had been able to take something that they said and maybe felt self-conscious about. You think that I've never said anything that I felt like I wished I hadn't have said? Oh, too many times. I've lost count. But you know, I'm not going to let the devil make a mountain out of that. I'm not going to let the devil take my misnomers in my speech and... I've had someone challenge, and I try to accept challenges to improve my ability to communicate. But I've had several times that people have given me cautions about grammar usage, and I know sometimes that I use improper grammar, but I'm just not going to let it be a mountain. We sing a song that says, no, never alone. Isn't that a double negative? We have scriptures that talks about double and triple negatives. I'm not trying to justify myself, but neither am I willing to allow some kind of molehill to crush me. And I don't want him to crush you, whatever it might be. Somebody could, somebody might even say to you, well, anytime you stand up, I know we're going to hear something hickish. Well, you know, the devil could just, what I mean by that is it just sounds like you're some kind of rogue or some kind of uneducated person. We know that you're going to say something that's, we're going to snicker at your words you use or whatever, don't let the devil make a mountain out of that. Because the devil wants to take your sincerity and twist it all out of proportion. Build this mountain that looks like solid rock. And there's no way around it. There's no way through it. I don't have the ability to chisel through solid rock. I don't have the ability, even if somebody said I could, I would be very apprehensive of rock climbing. Some of you might not, but I would be. So, I don't want us to accept the mountains the devil tries to make out of molehills. I have some passages of Scripture that's somewhat extensive I'd like to read this morning. I'd like for us to go to Numbers, the 13th chapter. This is kind of like a Bible. It is a Bible story. It's a story that's in the Bible. And I'd like to go to Numbers chapter 13. And I want to begin reading in verse 23. And the setting is, the children of Israel have come to the place in their travels from Egypt. And the Lord, they have learned some lessons. They've already started receiving some of the instructions from the Lord and all. And they're at a place that the Lord is ready for them to go into the Canaan land. Notice I said the Lord was ready for them to come into the Canaan land. And begin reading in verse 23. Moses had sent some spies, one from each tribe, into the land to look the land over and come back and give a report. And they, beginning verse 23, is talking about this 12 spies. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran of Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Can you imagine? A cluster of grapes so big that it took two men to carry it on a pole in between them. Now, that'd be pretty impressive. I don't know how big the grapes were, but themselves. But this was surely impressive. It says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. This is still the report of the spies, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, I know that there was some things being said here that was a little bit distressing. It says that the people that were there are strong. Somebody said that. And they dwell in the land, and then cities are walled. These look like fortresses. And Caleb still the people. He says, let us go up at once and possess it. And but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. Caleb was trying to reassure them that with God's help, we can overcome it. This land of milk flowing with milk and honey, look at the fruit we brought back. We can possess it. And there was others, the other 10 spoke up and said, we can't do it. This is a mountain. This is not a molehill. This is a real mountain. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though we through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. This land is, there's a lot of aggressive things going over there. Maybe they seen a lion. You remember about the slothful man? He said, there's a lion without it. I'm going to stay in the house. Maybe they seen one. You remember, we've been studying in Leviticus, and we read this morning about how the Lord would clear the land of the evil beast. Now, they already learned that. Isn't Leviticus before Numbers? Yep, it sure is. All right, so they already learned that. They learned that the Lord was going to clear the land. He was going to subdue the people. They already had been forewarned, forearmed, been prepared. They're coming up. They went in, sent some spies. They come back with a huge cluster of grapes. I don't know how big the pomegranates and all the other stuff were, but I think they were the tastiest they had ever tasted. And Caleb and Joshua said, let's go. We're well able. The Lord will help us. And there was somebody that said, oh, hold on just a minute. These people are bigger and stronger than us. They live in walled cities. And then the 33rd verse. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we, in our own sight, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now these other 10 said, now look, these men were so big that we look like grasshoppers. Now stop and think about this. How tall, if you're only 5 foot tall, how tall is a grasshopper? A half inch? 3/4 of an inch for a big one? Now you think about that ratio, and this man that said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, that those giants weren't that big. Those giants weren't that big. You know, Goliath was at the most maybe 10 foot tall. Some people think he was 9 foot something. I don't remember exactly. But so what if he was 10 foot tall and you was 5? That's only twice as tall. That means that a grasshopper would have to be about 30 inches for this illustration to be right. Now, if I'd seen a 30-inch grasshopper, I would have reason to be alarmed. But I've never seen one that tall. And the point I'm trying to make here is the devil comes along and he exaggerates any fear that we might have. You got a molehill in your life? The devil's going to come along and try to make it look like a mountain. Even if it really is unbelievable. If it's really, I mean, if you just stop and think about it, if anybody was just thinking about what this man said, these people are so big, we look like grasshoppers. I can just see some little children that might have been in the crowd saying, really? They were that big to make us look like grasshoppers? I know that my children have picked up on things that were exaggerations. Many times when they're little, their little mind is thinking, really? And all the adults are saying, oh boy, grasshoppers. And the children see right through it many times. And right here, we have these people that exaggerated the ratio of height between them and the giants. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do when we have difficulties and we have a little bump in the road. Someone said something. Someone did something. We seen the lion. We seen the coyotes running through the field. We seen whatever it was. And instead of assessing it for really what it is, we make it look like we're the grasshopper and they're the giant. And the devil comes along and says, this is a mountain, there is no way around it. You might as well just accept discouragement and give up. And when all reality is, that's not the case. We're not grasshoppers. We're like Caleb said. What did he say? Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are what? We are well able to overcome it. That's the attitude that the Lord wants us to have. You know, if someone comes along and said, there's a mountain lion, we seen him over on County Road 130, and he was eating a calf. Well, I don't have any calves right now for him to eat, but he might eat my dog. Well, you know what I might do? I might take some precautions. I might be prepared to shoot this lion if he comes in my yard. But I'm not going to stay in the house. I'm going to be prepared to kind of keep my eye open and see if he might, you know, listen to, is the dog barking? Is the chicken squawking? Is something going on outside? I'm not going to stay in the house just because we can't afford to. All right? We can't afford to. Now let's take this story a little further. Let's go to Numbers, the 14th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the first verse here. He says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Oh my, we can't go in because we look like grasshoppers. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt?" You know, and that's just like the devil. He wants you to think that that rubbish you escaped from when you escaped from a life of sin would be better than conquering this little molehill that come up. Somebody says they didn't like you, or they thought that your testimony wasn't sincere, and now you feel like you're not going to church. And the whole reality is the devil really wants you to start thinking about going and living in sin again.
Yes, that's true.
And he just took a little old bitty molehill and made a mountain. I just can't get over this. Maybe that person had a toothache when they told you that. I don't know. Maybe they had something they were dealing with. But we can't accept that. He says, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land?" And they said, fourth verse, "And they said to one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, however you say that word, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." How many times have you looked on at someone, maybe someone that you're a close associate, your family member, and they have begun to make mountains out of molehills, and you just want to pull your hair out? How do I help these people see that this is not a mountain? This is overcomable. You can rise above this. This is not something to throw in the towel for, and instead, they just keep on going. They're ready to make a captain and go back to Egypt. And you're saying, look, the Lord has promised. Don't you remember what we learned in the Levitical law? He promised to make the beast disappear before us. He promised to give us victory. He told us that 5 of us would chase 100 and 10 of us would chase 10,000. He didn't give us any conditions that as long as they're not bigger than you, he didn't say that. He said 10 would chase 100, or 5 would chase 100, 10, or 100 would chase 10,000. Okay. Anyway, the odds, there was no conditions on how big the enemy was. It just said, if it was the enemy, you're going to be victorious. So, Joshua and Caleb were tearing their clothes, pulling their hair out, we would say, maybe today. "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land," which they're saying it again, "the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceedingly good land." If you're able to rise above this, you'll have a victory that you can help somebody else with. If you conquer this mountain, no matter how big the devil wants to make it appear to you, if you conquer this mountain, you'll be able to have another feather in your hat. You'll be able to share this with someone else. You'll have a testimony that's real, that's personal. All right? "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." We don't have to be afraid of them. Yes, they might be physically bigger than us, but our God is with us. You see? It's just a molehill with the Lord. It's not really a mountain. He says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. The people, by and large, said, not listening. There's a lion out there. We're not listening. There's trouble ahead. We look like grasshoppers in the eyes of the... Just letting it get bigger and bigger. Did you know that mountains will grow on you? Just as soon as you see a molehill on the horizon, the closer you get, the bigger it gets. And the devil just keeps it painting bigger and bigger and, well, what if this? And what if that? Oh my. And it just gets so big and it just starts... It's so out of proportion. Many times, if you would just touch it, the whole facade would fall off and you would see that it's just a molehill. But instead, the devil just paints this picture bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. Well, let's go a little further. Skip down to the 28th verse in this chapter. He says, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. The people rejected the pleadings of Joshua and Caleb. And he said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. The little ones that you're afraid, that did you know sometimes, and it probably should happen more than it does, but you know there's times that there's a generation that comes on that is able to be victorious when the parents are not. Lord, help us not to try to pass on a mountain. Try not to pass on this fear of being like a grasshopper in the sight of the enemy. But the children, that they were said, oh, the giants will kill us and take our children for prey and make them slaves and take our wives and all of this. He said, the little ones which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. So that was a serious consequence for not accepting the deliverance the Lord had for them. And dear ones, this morning, I just want to challenge us that these molehills that come our way, if we allow the devil to intimidate us with an exaggerated story, with a sincere fear. Now, I don't want to... meet a lion unprepared. But if someone sees one from a distance, I feel like that we should endeavor to be prepared for a lion. Now, in Joshua, the first chapter, we find out that they're in a position, these children that were going to be the prey, they're fixing to go over in the land. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with them. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I'm telling you, when I read these verses, it just kind of makes me tingle all over. It's very challenging. It's very encouraging. The Lord says, I'll go with you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to thy, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now the Lord was speaking to Joshua directly here, and he was encouraging him. Joshua was the man that 40 years earlier had been pulling his hair out and tearing his clothes because the people would not accept the good report. And here are the little ones, the children, those that was less than 20 years old. They were getting ready to go in. And, you know, I'm sure that Joshua had to deal with some mountains the devil tried to erect. And one of those was, this generation will do the same thing the other one did. We get up there to go into the land, they'll draw back in fear. They won't go on through. They won't be good for the challenge. They'll be ready to go back to Egypt. Well, they didn't really know Egypt themselves very well themselves, but he had to face that. And the Lord said, the land that you put the sole of your foot on, that will I give you. Right there, when the devil has taken the molehill and made a mountain out of it. And maybe it looked a whole lot more like a mountain initially. I want to tell you, the only way that we're going to be able to gain the victory is address it. We have to address it. Whatever it is in our life. If the devil comes along and says, you're done, you're through, you're out of here, God don't love you anymore. The saints don't love you anymore. The neighborhood don't respect you anymore. Whatever it is, you're going to have to address it. You're going to have to step up to the plate. You're going to have to say, I'm willing to put my foot on it. You're going to have to step out in faith, in with the confidence that Joshua had. God told him, I'll be with you. I won't forsake you. I'll be there for you. But you're going to have to put your foot on it. I'm kind of rearranging this for you today just a little bit. But if the Lord is going to be with us, He's going to give you the courage. He's told him to be courageous, be strong, but put your foot on it. I'm not talking about kicking something. I'm talking about when you put your foot on something, you're going to step on it. You're going to go over it. You're going to conquer it. Well, I don't know what kind of mountains or molehills might be in your life today, but I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Don't allow them to get disproportional. The devil wants to come along and say, grasshopper, you know, you can never do this. Now, what good? How effective would a grasshopper be tunneling through a mountain? Not very. But I'm going to tell you, when we recognize that we're not a grasshopper, that we're a full-grown man or woman, and we can have the Lord on our side, and whatever the mountain is, the Lord wants us to put our foot on it. And it's just like old Peter walking on the water. I believe when the Lord says come, that we can walk on it, that we can put our foot on it, that we can rise above it. I have one other verse I want to share with you. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. notice something the Apostle Paul said here to the church at Corinth. We'll go over here to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we'll start in the 7th verse. He says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, I don't guess we know for sure. There's been speculations of what this thorn in the flesh was to Paul. But a thorn in the flesh is not very comfortable. Rodney has had something in his finger, and he came to me this morning, and he said, I think it's festered enough. Here, squeeze on this and see if we can get this out of my finger. And he kind of winced when I squeezed, but I don't think we got it out of there. And Paul had something that was like a thorn in the flesh. It was pain. It was a sensitive thing to him. Maybe some people think that he was blind. I don't know. Did you know that if any of us here became blind, that would be a sensitive area? It'd be something for us to really contend with. And he says here, it was a thorn in the flesh, and I asked the Lord three times. You know, Paul had prayed for people and seen them healed? And here Paul has got a need, and Lord, you know, I would think, now this just stands to reason. Somebody that's a minister, he's a traveling evangelist. The last thing you want to handicap somebody like that with is blindness. He ought to be able to read. Paul was a man that could read more than one language. He's valuable. Eyesight was very valuable to him. Lord, I need my eyesight. I'll be more effective for you. I don't know what he prayed, but he sought the Lord three times for it, that it might depart from him. And this is what the Lord said to him: "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, you stop and think about this. Paul said, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Now, if we are reproached for Christ's sake, I'd venture to say that every one of us would consider that a mountain. If somebody said, "Oh, you Christian people, you think that whatever," and they reproach us. If we are destitute, we have a need. "Lord, I've been trying to live for you. How come I'm in a bad situation here?" It's a mountain to us. In persecutions, we don't hardly understand that. There's people out there that's really persecuted for being Christians in foreign countries. In distresses, what would you think if you had an employer that said, "All you folks as Christians, consider yourself terminated"? That'd be distress, wouldn't it? Now, I don't think any of us would go home and say, "Well, met a little molehill today at work." No. We would go home and feel like that the whole world was caving in on us. That, how are we going to tunnel through this one? How are we going to make it? The man just told me I was terminated. I either deny my Savior or I lose my job. That's a mountain. But it's only a mountain if we allow it to be a mountain. I believe they could be turned into molehills. You know, the devil wants to take your molehills, turn them into mountains. And the Lord wants to take your mountains and turn them into molehills. So I just want to challenge us this morning. I don't know where what you're struggling with. I don't know what the devil may be putting up on your horizon somewheres and intimidating you with, because he likes to do that. He likes to get you out there to where he can intimidate you. Oh, there's a mountain ahead. I know you can see it because you can see the snow on the peak of it. It's a big one too. He likes to intimidate us with those mountains. But I want to tell you, if the Lord doesn't help us to climb it, he'll help us tunnel through it. He'll help us through that. But it's just like Joshua, and the Lord told Joshua, be strong and of good courage, and whatever land you put the sole of your foot on, that's what I'll give you. You pray for me.